From between the hedges at Sanford Stadium to the practice fields, from Stegman Coliseum and wherever else the Bulldogs are playing, it's time to talk Georgia sports.
Touchdown, touchdown, don't win it!
From the Athens Banner Herald, here are your hosts, Mark Weiser and Ryan Dennis.
Hey, welcome into the Bulldogs Extra Podcast. We are going old school today with both myself and Orion doing this remotely due to scheduling and some technical upgrades. We are anticipating coming to our podcast studio. Ryan, you're the technical guy, so will you be doing the magic to smooth the sound over when the next time we hit the studio?
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I have to get some people higher up than I am to... you know, take care of certain switches and buttons and cords and all that stuff. But yeah, right now we're going through my MacBook Pro here that is on its last leg. So hopefully everything sounds all right and you sound good coming through. So yeah, hopefully next time we can do this more official in a studio.
All right, we will talk about Georgia football as it is now past the halfway part of spring practice with 8 practices down and the first scrimmage coming Saturday. Georgia has a new women's basketball coach, and the Masters are next week. Georgia basketball got a transfer and has 2/3 of its assistant coaches already. Ryan, more importantly, or least importantly, I guess,
yeah.
What is the best, worst April Fool's joke you heard today?
I mean, there's been a lot of bad ones, I'm not going to lie. I mean, Georgia with the shattered trophy, did anybody really believe that? I mean, you know.
I have not acknowledged that. I think people can just, you know, see it themselves. It's,
Yeah, I think I saw that there was a fake trade in the major leagues somewhere, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was clearly unbelievable, like for real. So, you know,
weren't there some real trades in MLB today?
Well, I think Kimbrel was traded from the White Sox to the Dodgers in an actual trade, but you know, I think April Fool's is come and gone as far as really getting anybody these days. I mean, I think it needs to go the way of the dodo, to be honest with you.
Ryan, I think 11 and 12-year-old Ryan Dennis would appreciate some good April Fool's hijinks.
Well, maybe that's where it should stay in elementary school. You know, get the kids that don't know what day it is.
Yeah. All right, let's talk spring football. I had a chance to see about 20 minutes of practice on Thursday. Ryan, I don't know how often you've been out there. You haven't been out there, I know, this spring yet.
No, not yet.
Because you're doing your own thing. But you know what? Kirby Smart is he's quite the dude on the microphone. It's his deal. That's how everybody hears him. He walks around with, I guess, I don't know the technology on this, but I guess he's got like a cordless mic. And
yep.
You can hear him. I will say this, winning a national championship, and I'm not just referring to Kirby, I'm talking about the entire coaching staff, has not lessened the amount of curse words that are going on right there, which is, you know, it's probably what got you that national championship trophy to begin with, besides talent and drive, you know, probably lighting a fire under someone's backside, you know, with some choice words. I'm not seeing anyone getting necessarily, like, denigrated or being, you know, put in their place, like just kind of coaching up type thing. And you know, it doesn't matter if there's like a bunch of people, recruits and parents and you know, visitors at practice. I mean, they're gonna do what they do with it. I don't think they'd necessarily clean it up for our sake.
You know what's funny about that is that you know, I guess the speakers or whatever right in the middle of the field, I do believe, you know, and that thing I think hits Stegman Coliseum and just bounces through campus, and you can hear him. I think I've been at Sanford Stadium before, like standing at the, you know, the bridge area, and you can hear Kirby over the loudspeakers from practice. I mean, that thing, it pretty much goes the entirety of campus.
Ryan, can you go out there pretty much every Tuesday, Thursday, and just kind of take notes exactly what you hear over the fence?
You know, I could probably pull into the parking deck there, you know, behind Stegman Coliseum. Yeah, just sit there. But, you know, Kirby's got people everywhere, so they'll probably find you. You know, it's like They'll send somebody to take your credentials and send you off campus. So I'd be very careful about doing something like that, to be honest.
All right, a guy named Stetson Bennett was taking the first quarterback snaps in the drills that we saw.
Shocker.
You know, well, I mean, they're actually rolling
quarterback
and Brock Vandegrift in there, giving them some quality reps this spring. But, I mean, when push comes to shove, you know, when there's a game against Oregon on that Saturday to start the season in September, I mean, are you gonna throw out one of those other guys out there?
You wouldn't think so. Obviously, we don't get to see more than the little bit of practice you get to see. But, I mean, a guy that won you a national championship last year, I think would be your guy. Now, you do have a couple five stars there behind him. And then, you know, Carson Beck out there, who people have been praising a lot this spring. So, but, I mean, I don't see how Stetson Bennett the fourth is not your guy come opening day, no.
You said a couple five stars. Now, Vandegrift's a five star. You're talking about
Raven County.
It depends what.
Yeah, what service you use, but I mean, you know, he had a well of a year his senior year, which I think gave him, you know, Gunnar Stockton's who we're speaking of, gave him maybe an extra percentage point or two that might have rounded him up to a five star. Of course, all that is neither here nor there, really. You know. Borderline four and five stars will be a heck of a player. So,
well, one guy who is a five star, I think unquestionably, is Arik Gilbert. Damn it, I need to look up. Is it? I think we had this conversation in the press room yesterday. Which no, it wasn't the press room. But we were waiting on Kirby. The pronunciation of Gilbert. Which
now,
I think Scott. I'm talking about first name. Scott Howard, I believe, has a pronunciation on the website. You can just click on it. You can hear the way he pronounces it. So.
We looked this up last year because I always thought it was Eric. You called him Arik or whatever. And we looked it up, and it was like they had an A-Y-R-I-K, I think, or something like that. So it looked like Arik. So I think you were actually saying it right, unlike Louis Cine for all those years.
Let me pull up his bio and see. Is there a way you can? I don't see it on the way. Hold on a second. Let's see. Got a little interruption there to the podcast. A little fumbling. We're gonna skip bypass that. We're just gonna call him Gilbert for now. But the important thing is, I was making the point that whether Stetson Bennett is the dude, and you expect he will be, Gilbert's gonna be. He's gonna be an important cog on the. That Brock Bowers and Darnell Washington are going to be good to go, you know, when the season comes along. But getting Gilbert back after him missing all of last season for personal reasons, I mean, you lose John Fitzpatrick to the NFL, kind of an underrated glue guy, you know, especially as a blocker.
Yeah.
Gilbert is not a wide receiver. Forget that talk from last year. 265, 270 pounds, you know, looks the part, big mammoth target who is losing weight, Kirby says, and working on his conditioning. You know, just an intriguing piece to throw in there with Todd Monken in this offense.
Well, obviously he was, you know, big-time recruit coming out of Marietta, if I'm not mistaken. And then, of course, goes down to LSU, has a, you know, pretty solid rookie campaign down there. So, yeah, I mean, that's a huge piece to get back. And, I mean, I think you can mention – he might not be a receiver, but, you know, he could have an important role in the passing game, which is, you know, of course, something big they would need. So I think it's going to be big to have him back on the field.
Speaking of big, we got to speak with Broderick Jones. Let's just go ahead and call him Georgia's starting left tackle. I mean, he did the job, you know, when called upon last year when Jamari Sawyer, you know, was out or moved around in the offensive line during the national championship game. You know, it's going to be intriguing to me to see kind of how the rest of the way the offensive line. You know, you can presume Cedric Van Pran and Granger is going to be your center, and that Warren McClendon is going to be your right tackle. But the guard spots, I mean, does Warren Erickson hold on to a job at right guard? Xavier Truss is working at left guard. You have Devin Willick, among others, that are battling in there at guard. And then you'll bring Tate Ratledge back. You know, hopefully they expect him back in the preseason, your starter last year against Clemson at right guard. How do you think all that's going to shake out?
Oh, you know, I mean, that's what spring and early fall camp is for. I have no clue. I mean, I don't necessarily knew that Tate Ratledge was going to be, you know, your right guard starter last year when fall camp even started. So a lot to work out through that. And, you know, I saw a picture of him the other day. It still looked like he had the boot on. So I know he's still kind of coming back from that foot injury. But, hey, that's what
– did he have the mullet?
Oh, he had the mullet, and I think it was a picture of a former teacher of his, or he had gone to an elementary school or something to read. I don't remember what it was, but whatever. He made the teacher look like she was, you know, one of the munchkins in The Wizard of Oz or something, because he was that much bigger than her. But, yeah, I mean, this is obviously the good side of bringing in, you know, stacking offensive line recruits, because you do have this competition for starting jobs, and, you know, Tate, I mean, if he's healthy, you'd think he'd have a great shot. And then Warren Erickson, you know, was your right guard last year for a good bit of it. So, I mean, you know, it's like that's ideally what Kirby Smart came in 5-6 years ago wanting to do, is to have this type of line with this type of competition, so that, you know, when somebody like Tate does go down, I mean, you just have somebody else step right in there and hardly miss a beat.
I mean, we don't really know all those names I mentioned, a lot of them. I mean, how good they are. I mean, you could have competition, but, you know, Jamari Sawyer is kind of a special guy. And you know, also you had Justin Schaefer, kind of an underrated guy that had been around as an experienced guy. And both those guys are going to be drafted, you know, presumably would be gone by, you know, the middle of the NFL draft, maybe. Not exactly sure where Schaefer will go, but I expect, you know, to see Sawyer go probably day two. So we'll see. And, you know, they brought in that Green from Ernest Green from California.
Yeah.
Another guy that, you know, highly recruited. We'll see how he plays out.
Would you say that having your center back and a young guy in Cedric Von Prawn is one of your most important pieces? I mean, that's somebody that, you know, it feels like that's really an anchor for everything along the line there, you know, kind of the quarterback of the line.
Yeah, he's still kind of young, right? So I'm looking. I guess he's a redshirt sophomore still.
Yeah.
But I feel like he's been kind
That's
of
a rough. Name that, we go back to when he was being recruited here. You know, we'd try to get in touch with down in New Orleans and stuff. That does feel like an eternity ago. But, yeah, he's still a young guy.
Well, he played four games as a freshman in 2020. But, you know, obviously you can still take a redshirt.
Right.
And that happens. But, all right, elsewhere, Kamari Lassiter seems to be the guy that's kind of rolling opposite of Kelee Ringo these days. We're talking before Georgia holds its first scrimmage, so a lot can happen in the next 2 weeks, because G-Day will be in 2 weeks, but that'll be the third scrimmage in that two-week span on three straight Saturdays, so something else to watch. On the injury front, kind of a scary situation for freshman linebacker C.J. Washington. Had a neck injury in practice last week, got concussed as well. Kirby said he didn't know how long he's going to be out, but he's going to be in a neck brace for a while. So, you know, Schaefer, you remember him, he was in that neck brace for a long time, right? I mean, he missed the last, like, half of the season when he had that injury. So, you know, hopefully things work out well for Mr. Washington. Ryan, Luke Henry Bennett is now a Georgia preferred walk-on commitment.
That he is?
Brother of Stetson Bennett. Will we see Stetson Bennett complete a pass to Luke Bennett in a Georgia game?
G-Day, maybe? What do you think? He's not... I guess they would
Luke
be
Bennett
too far apart. Yeah.
Luke Bennett is not running out of the stands to catch a pass to G-Day. Although, you know what? It's not a real game. Go ahead and do it. It's fine by me.
It's made up, man. They can do what they want to. No, I don't. I mean, he's going to come in and do what other walk-ons have done, and maybe be a part of scout team and stuff like that. I mean, I don't see that ever being a chance of that happen, especially with as far off as they are in age. You know, if they were 2 years apart, you might see his younger brother there come in and maybe get a chance against Northwestern State or something like that. But, nah, we won't ever see that. But, you know,
Northwestern State. Are they playing Northwestern State this
year?
Yeah,
I've made up a 1AA program or something. You know, I don't know. Maybe a Northwest Florida or something like that. You know. So, nah, I don't think I'll ever see that happen. But I did see that Stetson congratulated his little buddy or whatever for getting that opportunity as a preferred walk-on. I guess he had chances at other smaller schools, but chose to come to Georgia as a preferred walk-on, and I guess continue that Bennett legacy.
Another wide receiver that I wrote about this week came from the baseball team. Randon Jernigan, the outfielder, you might remember.
Oh, yeah.
Made one of those leaping catches against LSU a few years ago in the outfield, and has a really good stolen base percentage. And I talked to Scott Strickland, the baseball coach. They time baseball players in the 60-yard dash, and Strickland wasn't sure exactly why that is. It's just always the way it has been. But he's one of the fastest guys out there, and now he's practicing with the football team. Georgia was, lost some guys depth-wise with transfers and, other situations. So Jernigan's out there, and sounds like he's going to give this a go and hopefully be able to contribute to the program. So, we'll see if is he the next Ladd McConkey?
I wondered how difficult. I mean, that's got to be such a challenge. And I'm not. Did when you talked to Scott Strickland, did he sound thrilled about this whole situation?
Well, I mean, Jernigan hadn't played in an SEC game this season, so it's not like he's necessarily the top guy off the bench and that kind of thing. Yeah. I mean, maybe he's a pinch runner. Maybe he's a defensive replacement. Maybe he plays like on a Tuesday game, although you don't really have those games against teams that are not that good anymore. I mean, I think they got Clemson next week as your Tuesday game. So,
right.
But I mean, he's an experienced player, and spring practice is over, like I said, in 2 weeks. So it's not too long a stretch. He didn't make the trip to Kentucky with them. They have a limited travel roster. I think it's like 27 players. So I don't think he'll probably go to South Carolina the week after this one either. We'll see how all that plays out. But interesting anytime you have that. And Ryan Godey did the same deal, but went from football to baseball, but never played because he was dealing with a shoulder injury. So, these things happen. I think it was who was the DB from Augusta, cornerback? It was Sanders Cummings, I think, was always like being talked about as a guy. I know he was drafted and he played minor league ball,
yeah.
I believe. But he was always talked about as he's going to play, join the baseball team, and it never really happened.
Terry Godwin, when he drafted like 35th round or something,
yeah,
too.
Hey, Jake Fromm won a state championship in baseball, didn't he?
Yeah, you know what? An unknown fact about him, he also played in the Little League World Series.
I did not know that.
Yep. Breaking news here on the Bulldogs Extra Podcast.
I wish I knew that when he played a quarterback at Georgia, because too late. I'm gonna call Jake and see if he can kind of maybe reminisce about his Little League series.
Hey, you do know that Georgia.
And after that, I'm gonna call David Pollock and David Green and ask them.
Were they friends?
Were you guys really friends? I didn't know about that.
You know, Georgia does have a kid. I saw it on Twitter the other day, yesterday maybe, who hit a 460 foot foot home run the other night. Hit the greenhouse up there. That he was a pretty big stud a few years back on the Little League World Series. I don't remember all that.
Georgia baseball gets a walk-off win over Florida Thursday night.
Yeah, that was exciting. I'd gone to bed. I didn't stay up to see the end of it. But
Brian, you are ridiculous. You're getting really old. I was also asleep at that time. I think the game ended like 11.
Yeah, too late.
Jonathan Cannon, the ace of the staff, is on the mound in less than a couple hours now. But by the time you listen to this, that game might be over. I don't know what time it's going to be published. But they kept Cannon on the Friday start, which I think is smart. He's pitching very well.
Which that made last night's win even bigger, because they had struggled with the bullpen and pitchers not named Cannon, So that was a big pickup, assuming that he keeps doing what he's been doing tonight.
All right, Ryan, G-Day spring football, as we mentioned, 2 weeks and a day away, April 16th. Tickets are $5. The days of free G-Day apparently, I guess, are over.
Man, it used to be bring a can of corn, green beans, and you can get in for free, but no longer.
I mean, I think you can bring those things, and if you just bring one of those, hand-operated can openers, just go ahead and do that. Open that up on your seat, and then just
have
a can of.
It's like the bottled Coke, they must open it for you before you go in.
Anyway, what's your prediction for G-Day? Will they sell that thing out? And I mean literally sell out if it's $5 a shot.
Whew. I mean, I would think so. I mean, you know, $5 ticket is still pretty cool to go see the reigning national champions practice football in a spring game. I mean, you know, seemed like 55, 60,000 when it was free was always a pretty good crowd. And of course, when Kirby asked for 92K day, everybody showed up, of course. I guess that was free. But yeah, I think a lot of people will flock to Athens, especially, you know, to experience that spring football vibe, you know, to tailgate on campus and all. I think they'll sell it out. What's your opinion?
I think sellouts is like 80, really about 88,000 or something, because they have like another 4,000 that goes to like players and recruits and whatever else, a lot, you know, Letterman and that kind of thing. I don't know. I think the last time they had full attendance allowed was it like, was it, I wrote about this, so you can check out the story I wrote earlier this week. I think it may have been like 58,000 or 70,000 last couple of times. I don't know. I do think the national championship thing, although people did already go to the stadium to celebrate that, right? So
that's true.
But they probably will. They probably will. There won't be a Masters conflict, which we'll get to in a minute. But
yeah.
Hey, let's transition to basketball. Earlier today, Georgia got the first new player for Mike White, transfer out of Longwood University, Justin Hill. Before we talk about Justin Hill, he's a 6 foot guard out of Houston. I think it wasn't until this year that I really knew exactly where Longwood was. Like, I don't even remember that name showing up much, but like somehow I've known about that. See, maybe there were SEC teams playing Longwood, or I don't know why, but well, Longwood did play Tennessee in the NCAA.
I would say there were a tournament team.
You know where Longwood is?
No, I mean, great name, Longwood. But I do not know. I have pondered that myself. Do tell us the info.
Farmville, Virginia.
Okay.
According to Wikipedia, it was founded in 1839. Third oldest public university in Virginia.
Behind Virginia and Washington Lee. No.
Don't know. All right, Justin Hill, 14.2 points a game, 4.2 assists a game, about 80% free throw shooter. I guess it's a pretty good get. I mean, I think
I saw that they beat out Cal, right?
Mark Fox was trying to get him. Yeah. So, look, this is going to be the deal. Now, LSU, his entire roster apparently is gone.
I saw
now.
That.
It's worse than Georgia was last year. Jeff Borzello of ESPN said the Tigers lost 11 players to the transfer portal, 2 to the NBA draft, and all 4 players that had committed in 2022 and 2023. They had 0 scholarship players from this past season still on the roster. Hey.
Is that when you just hold open tryouts to all the campus and hope you find a nugget or two?
I mean, Matt McMahon was hired from Murray State. I'm sure he'll fill the roster with maybe he'll pick up Dalen Ridd. Who has transferred from Georgia. We'll see what that looks like. Hey, you know, as we record this, and I haven't checked Twitter in the last half hour or 20 minutes, so maybe there's been an announcement of some sort. I don't know. But Kari Okwuegbunam not in the transfer portal yet. I know there's been a kind of a Twitter report about that. I checked with a couple of people that would know surrounding Okwuegbunam. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. You know, he also has designs on playing in the NBA. He didn't hide that fact when we were talking to him about all the, you know, high-flying dunks he has and his athleticism. And so, you know, you remember last year, Sevier Wheeler, not only did he say he was going in the portal, he also declared for the NBA draft at the same time. So, you know, that's someone to watch. I mean, but who knows? I mean, maybe Mike White can keep him. I don't know. So, but not done yet.
That would be a big keep for Mike White, because he – as bad a year as Georgia had, I think Kari Okwuegbunam was the highlight and the star of it, and had some outstanding games, you know. And if Mike White could keep him in Athens, that'd be a good player to build around as he tries to get this thing rolling.
Hey, let's pronounce it correctly. I believe it's Kari Okwuegbunam.
I need Scott Howard to tell me.
By the way, congratulations to Jonas Hayes and the NIT champion Xavier Musketeers. Jonas Hayes, you might have heard, interviewed for the Georgia head coaching job, former Bulldog assistant and player, and 4-0 as interim head coach of Xavier. Ryan, go ahead and give me your commentary on this.
Oh, boy. I mean, good for Jonas. I mean, gosh, that was kind of the, you know, if he was indeed interviewed a couple times and passed over for the job, that was the ultimate kind of shot at Josh Brooks and Georgia folks for not hiring him. I mean, I think everybody loves Jonas Hayes here at the University of Georgia for, you know, what he did as a player and as an assistant coach under Mark Fox. And I'm still kind of personally wishing they would have hired him. You know, why not? You're starting over basically as a program, so why not bring in somebody like that? But I hope, you know, he'll get a shot somewhere at a maybe it's a mid-major that comes calling and he can, you know, build up his resume that way and get a big-time gig here in the next few years. But, yeah, I was happy to see that last night. I was pulling for Xavier to win.
I mean, Georgia does still have an opening on the Mike White coaching staff, and, you know, I wouldn't close the door entirely on Jonas Hayes, you know, getting an opportunity to take that job if he wanted it. But, I know that Sean Miller has said he wants to keep Jonas at Xavier. And there's also, you know, the Georgia State head coaching job is available.
Right.
Now, I don't know what direction they're going, but, you know, he would be a natural for that. You know, now he has a pretty good resume of being 4-0 in NIT champs and beat three SEC teams, albeit not, you know, Auburn and Kentucky and, you know, Tennessee and that kind of team.
Well, wasn't it cool to see Jarvis in the stands too last night, you know, celebrating, and then they embraced after the game, and of course their mom up there. That was really cool.
Now, when you say Jarvis, you're talking about Jarvis Hayes, Washington Wizard legend? Yes, it was. Yes,
yeah,
it was.
Number 10 overall pick, Jarvis Hayes.
Ryan, the Georgia Gym Dogs, their season's done. They finished fourth at the Auburn Regional with a 195.725 score.
Yeah.
You know, Courtney Kupetz, I guess she has a good recruiting class coming in, Courtney Kupetz Carter. So that would be worth watching. You know, there's been a lot of coaching changes at Georgia. Have we mentioned the name of the new women's basketball coach?
Nope.
Do you want to pronounce her name?
Yeah.
Do you want to just call her Coach Abe?
Let's call her Coach Abe. That sounds good. What is it? Katie Abramson. Abramson.
Henderson.
Henderson. Yes, and she was Abramson at Georgia, so that is her maiden name, so to speak.
Hey, Kirby Smart gave her a shout out. You know, Kirby and Mary Beth and the kids, big women's basketball fans. They go to the game. She's obviously a former Lady Bulldog player. Kirby said he hadn't had a chance to meet her yet, but he's hoping to. And UCF had a program record number of wins. They beat Florida in the first round of the NCAAs, and then lost to UConn. You know, Jones left, and they went and got a former Georgia player for 2 years at least. She transferred to Iowa, but well, I mean, you're high on this Iowa, is that correct?
Say it again.
I said, I know you were high on this hire.
Yeah, I think it was a good hire. I mean, again, and I'll reiterate that, you know, everybody loves Joni Taylor. She's a great ambassador for the university, for the women's basketball team. But they just were not getting over that hump. And, I mean, obviously, who says that couldn't happen next year? But, I mean, we're 6 years running now, and they hadn't made it past the second round of the NCAA tournament. Given Coach Abe's track record, at, you know, obviously it hadn't been at the type of place of a University of Georgia or something, you know, with its tradition dating back to the 80s and 90s and 2000s. But what she did with Albany, what she did at UCF to turn those programs around, and then taking UCF, nearly knocking off UConn in that second round, I mean, I think she can bring a lot of good to this program. And, you know, Maybe she can get them over that hump they haven't been able to get over in a few years.
Mike White hired Eric Pastrana and Akeem Nixdean since we last did our podcast. Two guys that were on his Florida staff. Pastrana's got Florida ties. Nixdean also coached in Florida at Florida Atlantic before he coached in Florida. So Georgia still needs a Georgia guy, right, on the staff to recruit the state and, you know, try to make inroads in some of these AAU programs. So I would expect, I'd be surprised if they don't have anybody from Georgia with a Georgia ties on their staff.
Well, I mean, I don't know. They just need somebody that can get into that market and bring in a few guys that aren't going to Auburn or Kentucky or Tennessee or you name it. UNC. They need somebody that can wedge their way in there and make a presence, whether that's somebody from Georgia or not. I don't know. And you did mention that opening to bring Jonas back. Jonas was good at finding maybe a diamond in the rough, Yante Maton, so to speak, that type. So, but obviously with ties around Atlanta, he brought in a lot of Atlanta guys. So, not saying it'll be Jonas, but whoever fills that position needs. They all need to crack that market.
All right, last thing before we go. Ryan next week will be in Augusta National, or at least that's the plan. It's the Masters. And, a little Butler Cabin, a little green jacket, maybe some pimento cheese sandwiches. Ryan, how many Georgia golfers are in the Masters field?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, Harris English backed out yesterday. Because of he had a hip replacement surgery, I think, had it surgery on his hip. I want to say in January, and he's not fully healed yet, so he's out. But we have Brian Harman, Hudson Swafford, Kisner, I think Keith Mitchell. I had to go back and look, but I want to say there's five that have qualified. Sepp Straka, Bubba, of course. Sepp Straka with his big win a couple weeks ago at the Honda. There's a strong Georgia presence. I think Russell Henley has qualified for it, being in the top whatever rankings. So there'll be a lot of Georgia golfers to pull for there.
Two of those, and it's not a coincidence, I'm sure, but two of the golfers that you mentioned from Georgia, Kevin Kisner, Brian Harman, former guest of this podcast. And I'm not saying we had something to do with them qualifying for the Masters, but look, we did not have something to do with them. I mean, they did talk to us and they made the Masters field.
I definitely say it's us.
Can you get Apple Dog's Extra logo, on the bag that one of them carries?
Yeah, let's do it. Kevin, I was noticing last week as he finished runner-up at the match play tournament that he seems to love so much, but I mean, he still got that red Georgia G plastered on his bag, man. He's all about that.
All right, we'll get the lowdown on the week at the Masters, hopefully, from Ryan after next week, because we're going to skip the podcast next week because it's going to be too difficult to do it while Ryan's in Augusta. But hopefully Monday, late afternoon that day, we'll have a special guest that will join us for a podcast. Now, I'm going to say that with a caveat. If Ryan wins like the Masters media lottery and gets a chance to play Augusta National, I think
won't be back for a while.
Take that.
Oh yeah. I don't know. We'll see what time all that goes down. But and of course, I think they select 30 out of the 400 media members there to play in it. So, but yeah, if I am selected, I will spend Monday in Augusta.
Well, you can just get an early tea time. I'd say it's 7:30, right when the sun's rising.
Yeah.
Play your 18, have a nice lunch at the clubhouse, and then book on home to Athens to get that podcast done, all right?
Yeah, I mean, that'd ideally be the plan. I tell you, whenever they tell me to be on the course, I'll be there. I don't care if it's if I play a couple holes in the dark or something. I mean, let me between the ropes there. That'd be pretty nice.
All right, everyone, have a great weekend, and we will talk to you next time. Thanks for joining us. Check out the podcast at wherever you get your podcasts, and give Ryan a 5-star review. Just say how much you enjoy his commentary and what he has to say about the Bulldogs. And we'll talk to you all next time. Have a great weekend.
See ya.